إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his kalam with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. He began his kalam with the words of praise and the words of shukr. And I want to begin today the first Fajr reminder of the first LEC in the UK with those words, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ibrahim mentioned the ayah which all of us know, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, announce this and let the world know that the one who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase that blessing. And the one who is ungrateful to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let him be aware and beware of the fact that the azab of Allah is severe. I remind myself and you that shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the root and the foundation of all that is good. And shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the root and foundation of all that is good. And when we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases that blessing. The increase of this blessing is to be understood, and we can see it in our own lives, that things that we are aware of and we are thankful for, irrespective of whether you are thankful to Allah or something else. I mean, if you are not a Muslim, you may be thankful, but not, you are not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even if you are thankful, just the feeling of thankfulness enhances and increases the enjoyment of whatever it is you're doing. To give you an example, you might buy a car, and it might be a small Hyundai or something. But you buy this car and you drive this car off the ramp of the dealer, and you sit in this car and you know the smell of new cars. You forget the smell of new car, and you're sitting in this car, and maybe it's your first car, and you're feeling so good about it. And you say, "Oh, thank God! You know what a lovely car." And maybe we didn't even say thank God. We're just feeling good about the fact that you're sitting in this car. And maybe, may Allah protect us from such people. Maybe there's a friend of yours sitting next to you in the car. You took him along. The mistake you made in your life of taking him with you to buy this car. And while you are sitting in this car and feeling so good about this car, an S-Class Mercedes drives past. Or a 7 Series BMW drives past. And the man says, "You know, excuse me, that is a car." Now imagine what happens to you. All that good feeling that you had is gone down the drain, right? Because if you listen to him, he says, "That is a car. This thing you are sitting in, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's not a car. That one is a car." It's gone. Now what changed? Thankfulness changed to ingratitude. Thankfulness changed to ingratitude. My understanding and interpretation, my personal interpretation of this ayat of the Quran is that we don't deny that Allah will increase the blessing, and we do not deny the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm saying that Allah shows us in this life itself the power of gratitude and the power of ingratitude. Both are powerful. Ingratitude turns the thing into sawdust in your mouth. The same thing. But ingratitude, being ungrateful for it, takes away all the enjoyment from it. Takes away all the enjoyment, takes away all the good feeling you had. Right here. And feeling grateful about it, as I said, even if you are not grateful to Allah, just feeling good about it enhances the enjoyment. Now take this to anything. You know, you have a lovely, beautiful day, and you say, and of course, Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims, so therefore, When we are grateful, this is ibadah. When we are grateful, the kalimat that come out from our mouths are kalimat of shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name is Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. What a beautiful day. Subhanallah, what a beautiful day. In this country, you say, wow, Subhanallah, look at the beautiful sunshine. In my country, you say, Subhanallah, how cloudy and nice. The same sun, but in my country, it's shining at 45 degrees. So you see, you look for the clouds. But in both situations, you are saying, Subhanallah. So thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first and foremost, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah to increase the barakah, but the first and foremost barakah is right here in this life. Right then and there. Extend this to your families. Extend this to your wives, and you say, Subhanallah, what a wonderful wife Allah gave me. What a wonderful wife Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me. Consciously, think about that. And see what that does to your marriage. What a wonderful husband Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me. Consciously think about that. And see what it does to your marriage. You have children, say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me such beautiful children. You have no children, you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me from a nuisance. You know? Most children have net acid drains. I mean, you know. Whatever the situation might be, we say, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. All praise and all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what situation we might be in. Allama Ibn Kathir, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, in this ayah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, he narrated a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was a man in the people of the past who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in the following words. And the man said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. He said, oh my Rabb, all praise, laka alhamd, all praise and all thanks is to you. Kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik, in keeping with the glory and majesty of your glorious countenance. In keeping with the glory and majesty of your face, wa azimi sultanik, and in keeping with the glory and majesty of your kingdom. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the malaika recording the amal, and each of us has got two of them. The malaika had never heard these specific words of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they did not know what to record for these words of praise. How many hasanat, what should be done. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the slave said even before the slave may have thought about it. And whenever you hear a hadith like this, where, as I'm going to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels, what did my slave say? This does not mean Allah does not know. Allah knows even before the slave thought of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked this question to establish those malaika, those angels, as witnesses in favor of his slave on the day of judgment. And this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the malaika go to him and they say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, a slave of yours praised you in certain words which we have never heard before. And what reward should we write for this? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the slaves, he asked the malaika, he asked the angels, he said, what did he say? And the angels repeated the words and they said, your slave said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. What reward should we write for this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, you be the witness for my slave on the day of judgment when he is brought before me. Because then I will reward him for these words, I will reward him in keeping with the glory and majesty of my face. And I will reward him in keeping with the glory and majesty of my kingdom. Imagine, all he said was these words. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire in your hearts words of praise of his that you have never said before. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put those words in your heart and to make you say those words and to accept them from you and to reward you in keeping with the glory and his majesty of his kingdom and of his self. How can you thank this Rabb who gave us a way of being that is so full of grace, that is so full of goodness, and then on top of that, he also rewards you for that? Ajib. We would have lived. If we had no Islam, we wouldn't have died. People without Islam are not dropping dead. We would have lived. And we would have lived, you know, happily or whatever. It's not as if people who don't have Islam are living in abject misery. They're not. They're very happy. Many of them look happier than you and I look. May Allah protect us. So being a Muslim, living according to Islam, has benefit and grace in itself. Imagine we came this morning, or maybe not this morning, earlier than the morning, we came in the night to pray 2 rakat of tahajjud. What is the value of those 2 rakat of tahajjud? Because you got up from your beds and you stood before Allah, hoping for his mercy and asking for his blessing. What is the value of that? I will tell you what is the value of it according to what your Rabb said. And he said, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمْعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُّنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we ask Allah to make this ayah, make you the mizdaq of this ayah, inshallah. Allah said, they are those who get up from their sides in the night, who get up from their sides and who stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bayna al-khawfi wa tama, between fearing the displeasure of Allah. Said, oh Allah, what did I do that displeased you? And tama, hoping for the mercy of Allah. Bain al-khawfi wa tama. This is the position of the Muslim. Not only in Salah, in his whole life. Bain al-khawfi wa tama. Wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon, and they spend from what we have given them. And what is the reward of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُونَ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. He said, if they know what I have kept for them, for this action, just for this action, if they know how I will reward them, if they know what I have kept for them, it will be the coolness of their eyes. And this is the understated bayan of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reward for this, inshallah. 2 rakat of tahajjud. And of course, we can pray more if you want to pray more. How do you thank Allah for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the adhan of Salatul Fajr. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who listens to the adhan and who repeats the words of the adhan And Fahiyal al-Salah and Hayal al-Falah, he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then he sends salat and salam on me. And then he recites the dua of the adhan. Please understand the sequence. Repeating the words of the adhan, then sending salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then making dua of the adhan, which we all know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will be the intercessor for that person on the day of judgment. And that is why the ulama have said that when the adhan is going on, stop everything, including reading Quran. Stop everything and respond to the adhan. And this is important to the level of fard for somebody sitting in the masjid or musalla. For someone outside, the level of importance is not that much, but depends on how much you want the good deed. But if you find, for example, if something else is happening outside and you know, if somebody is not stopping whatever he is doing and he is not responding to the adhan, don't find fault with him. There's room for that. But in the masjid, or in the musalla, absolutely critically important. The point is not so much that it's important. The point is, what are you getting for it? Think about that. Small little deed. Small little action. There is nothing that I am telling you which you haven't heard before. So why are you here? To listen to the same old stuff? Well, I can't invent stuff for you, so what to do? You are here to become conscious of that stuff. So I want, when you hear this hadith, for example, this hadith you must have heard, I don't know how many million times, about the dua of the adhan. But I want you to sit and reflect and think for yourself and say, what is the value of the shafa'at of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the value of the shafa'at of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know what that means? That is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. You know what that means? That means that one single day in your entire life, if you do this one action, and if Allah accepted it, then inshallah your Jannah is sure. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, you have to do this after every adhan, every time you hear the adhan, for your whole life, and only then I will be your Shafi. No, he said, you do it, and I am your Shafi. Just once. And of course, we do it every time because we want to make absolutely sure that we did not leave an opportunity. That is why you are here. You are here to reflect on this. Tahajjud is no rocket science. You know tahajjud, I know tahajjud. But how many times did you sit and think that this is what I am doing? Allah mentioned me in His kalam. Allah mentioned me in His kalam. And Allah said He mentioned you in His kalam. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah said, we have sent on you a book in which you are mentioned. If you only understand. In Surah Al-Anbiya. It's up to us to do things where we fit with the ayat that Allah has mentioned. And we ask Allah to make us among those who He meant when He said this, inshallah. Become conscious of this and thank Allah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I could have been sleeping in my house. I could have been anywhere. I'm not saying you were doing something haram. But you did not pray tahajjud. And somebody else prayed tahajjud. We don't say that the one who does not pray tahajjud will go to Jahannam. No, he will not. Inshallah, we ask Allah to save them. It's only the Salatul Fajr Fard which is Fard. Tahajjud is not fard. But Allah did not say that tajafa junubuhum anil madaji yaduna rabbahum khawfan wa tama'a wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun fala ta'lamu nafsun ma ukhfiya lahum min qurrati ayun jazaa'an bima kanu ya'malun. Allah did not say this about Salatul Fajr. He said this about tahajjud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, gave us the tawfiq. Because without the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will not happen. So how do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that tawfiq? Ya Allah, I could have been anywhere, but you caused me to be here. Small actions which give us huge rewards. As I mentioned, the adhan itself. Then you prayed Isha last night by Jama'ah, and you prayed Fajr today by Jama'ah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward of worshipping him all night. How many of us can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night? Some of us can, but all night, every night? Not possible. I mean, all night, maybe you are in i'tikaf in Ramadan or something, but all night, every night, not doable. It is not even recommended. But if you pray Salatul Isha in the masjid by Jama'ah, and you pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid by Jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reward for worshipping Him all night. How do you thank this Rabb? As I said, even if Allah did not reward us, the religion He gave us itself is a reward in itself. Because that religion, everything is so easy and everything is so graceful and so gracious and so beautiful. I come from a country which is probably the most God-fearing country in the world. Absolutely, without a doubt. People are more conscious of God than of the people of any other country. If they succeed in business, for example, if they make a lot of money, what do? They don't go, I mean, they may go on a holiday, but they don't buy gold and this and that. They build a temple. They build a temple. Any success happens, they go and give offerings to their gods. One day I was in Masjid al-Nabawi and I sent a message to some of my friends saying that I'm sitting here in the Masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and I'm making dua for you. And it so happened that I sent a message to a Hindu friend of mine and he immediately replied to me. He's the only one who replied. All the Muslims don't care two hoots where you are sitting, what you are doing. He is the only one who replied. And he said, please make an offering on my behalf to Lord Allah. Now it sounded very funny, but I'm saying that he is the only one who said that. So I said to him that we go to Allah to take. We don't go to Allah to give. Because Allah calls to give. Allah doesn't call to take. But they go to their gods to give. Most God-conscious country in the world. But in that country, if you want to worship your God, you have to get up in the night, bathe in cold water, walk to the temple without your shoes, wear only a waist, something around the waist, that's it. Upper body naked, no matter how cold it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a religion where you wake up at a reasonable time, you make wudu in nice hot water, you come into a nice heated masjid, in a cold place, in an air-conditioned masjid, in a hot place, and you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, properly dressed, comfortable. I am saying this in itself is reward. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though this itself is reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards in addition to that. And what is the reward for praying your fard salah? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a slave of mine who prays the 5 fard salawat at their appointed times, when he comes before me on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, to forgive him and enter him into Jannah is my responsibility. The one who prays the five fard salawat on time, when he comes before me on the day of judgment, to forgive him and enter him into Jannah is my responsibility. And the one who does not do that, Allah did not say, see the mercy of Allah, Allah did not say, I'll throw him in Jannah. No, Allah said, I may forgive him, I may not forgive him. He asked Allah to forgive him also, inshallah. See the mercy of Allah. Even for that, I mean, the opposite should be true, no? I mean, if the one who is praying for salawat on time, he should be in Jannah, the one who is not doing it on time should be in Jahannam. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah does not do that. Allah says, yeah, I may forgive, may not forgive. And we have the hope of Allah, ya Allah, we are among those. We are among those. At least I am among those. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us also. Not because we deserve to be forgiven, but because you are Ghafur Rahim. You are Ghafur Rahim. Forgive us because we don't want your record of forgiveness to have any mark on it. That you did not forgive so and so, even though you were Ghafur Rahim. We don't want this to be said. Forgive everybody. This is Allah. That's for Allah. You came here to become conscious of this. And to take this back from you. To take this back from here so that till the end of your days, you would never pass a day when you have not prayed tahajjud, inshallah. Are you ready, inshallah? That you never pass a day where you do not pray the first salah at its correct time, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that since you make this niyyah to pray tahajjud, starting from today, we already prayed till the last day of your life, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of His Majesty and Grace to decree that when your time comes to meet Him, that He takes you in a state of sujood and tahajjud, inshallah. Because only Allah can do this. You can't plan this. And this is one of the ni'mat and gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to give us. So the one who is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see what it already does. And we are not even talking about the ajr of the salah or this and that. We are saying, how does it make you feel about what you just did? And alhamdulillah, there's no one here who looks like he never prayed fajr or something. But do you feel a difference between praying fajr on a normal day and having prayed fajr today when we are being reminded of the value of that? So when we remember and we are grateful to Allah, the enhancement of the enjoyment of that action, the enhancement of the appreciation of that action, this is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You listen to the Quran, may Allah bless our brother, mashallah, who led us in salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person reads the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a reward of 10 hasanat for every letter that he reads. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified. And he said that I do not say that alif lam meem is one letter. He said, alif is one letter, lam is one letter, meem is one letter. Alif, lam, meem is 30 hasanat. To read the Quran and to listen to the Quran is equal in reward, inshallah. And therefore, the Imam got the reward and we got the reward. And Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, I heard from Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this reward of 10 hasanat is for reading Quran outside the salah. Reading Quran in Qiyam, which is what you did, he said Allah will give 100 hasanat for every letter of the Quran. Wallahu alam. And then as you and I know, all of this counting is only for us. Because we are small and we like to count. Because my Rabb is Rabbul Alameen. The king doesn't count and give. The king doesn't count and give. تعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. He doesn't count. And I'm not saying this is not my husn zan about my Rabb. Even if it was the husn zan about my Rabb, he said, أَنَا عِنْدَ زَنِّي عَبْدِي بِهِ. I am for my slave, whatever he thinks. But this is not even my husn zan about my Rabb. He said it himself. In the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, he said, the example of the one who spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the one who planted one grain. And from this grain grows a plant, and the plant has 7 years, and each year has 100 grains. So this person got 700 grains for one grain that he planted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, as I said, the king doesn't count. So having counted to satisfy your heart and my heart, and then he said, يُضَعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah will then increase that as He wishes. He did not say He will give 700. He said 700 is for you to count. Keep counting. I will give what I want. When He sent Laylatul Qadr, what did He say? Many people say Laylatul Qadr, to worship in Laylatul Qadr is equal to 1,000 months. Allah did not say it's equal to 1,000 months. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Better than worshipping 1,000 months. How much better? Better according to the one who said it is better. Better according to the one who said it is better. Better than 1,000 months. This is Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. Thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, I want to end with that. There is a condition. And the condition of thankfulness is that we never use that ni'mah in a way that displeases the one who gave it to us. This is a condition of being thankful. It's not enough only to say, Alhamdulillah, thank you very much for, no. That's not sufficient. That is part of it, and that we have to say that, and we must say that. And as I said, when we say that, it enhances the enjoyment of it, it enhances the barakah of it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will increase it, and He knows what He means by increase, inshallah. So that's the first condition. But the second condition, and very important condition, is that we never use that ni'mah in a way that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that displeases the one who gave it to us. It means that we never use our eyesight in a way that displeases Allah by looking at that which is haram. That we never use our hearing in a way that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by listening to sounds which Allah has prohibited. We never use our tongue in a way that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying things which we know we should not be saying. That we never use our hands and our feet in a way that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing things and by going to places which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. We never use our wealth, and we never use our health, and we never use our influence, and we never use... If you want to displease Allah and do something, then find something which you got from somewhere else. Yeah? That's the minimum requirement. If you have something which you got from somewhere other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then... Wallahu alam, I'm not saying you can use it, but I'm saying at least do that. Go look for something which you got from someone other than Allah, if you want to use it for something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But every single breath we take is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah decrees that when I take a breath, that I'm able to also exhale. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that when I have exhaled, that Allah gives me another breath to inhale. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi said, this life is an instant. This life is an instant. He said, let it be an instant of obedience. So obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using the faculties, using the treasures, using the strengths that Allah has given us, only and only in things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, not in anything else. And remember, the shaitan is always there to find excuses for us. The shaitan deceives, and one of his greatest deceptions is that he will not make you do something which is the exact opposite of what you do. For example, he will not even attempt to take you to the bar, because he knows you will not go there. He will not attempt even to make you deliberately miss a salah, because he knows you will not do that. Whatever the state of your and my salah, at least, alhamdulillah, when the time for salah comes, we will pray. So he won't say, don't pray. But what does he do? For example, we are going to pray tahajjud, and he makes you sleep so that you come late. You come, but you come late. So now you miss the whole salah. Now, effectively, if you got the last tail end of the second rakat, you still got the salah, but you missed all the recitation, you missed all the dua, everything. So what is he doing? He's decreasing from the hasana. And then after tahajjud, we have this time here, we said let us sit in dhikr, let us read Quran, but let us stay here and do that. And shaitan will remind you of this absolutely amazing, important, critical, world-shaking activity that you have to do right then. So you leave and you go, and then you come back in time for Salatul Fajr. But that period of time of 20 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it was that you could have spent sitting here making dhikr of Allah, reciting Quran, that time was spent doing something else. Wallahu alam, what that thing was. Maybe you went to Makkah to make tawaf and come back. Allahu alam. But you decide. You decide. That thing which you went out for, I don't even know what that was, so I'm not going to say it was good or bad. And some of you, it might be essential, because there are things that you got to do when you got to do, so that's a different matter. But I'm saying the point is that whatever you went out to do, those of you who went out, ask yourself, was that something that would have given you the same reward as reading Quran sitting here? If it was, alhamdulillah, all power to you. If it wasn't, then this is also the benefit of becoming conscious and saying, no, at least today, whatever happened, happened. Tomorrow, I will not do it. I will arrange myself in such a way that I don't have to leave here and go. And this time I spent in the zikr of Allah. Because that's why you came here. What sense does it make when you are here for the zikr of Allah, that time, now imagine this, you spent your time. This happens to the LEC every country that we go to. You talk about the Kuwait, you say, yeah, Sheikh, 5 days? We can't even get 5 minutes here. I mean, why, how can we get 5 days? Nobody will come. I say, no problem, don't do it. No, but we want to do it. So I said, do it. I mean, according to me, life is very simple, so I don't complicate my life. And then, of course, Muslims being Muslims, you will be surprised. The last time LEC happened in Kuwait, we have our dear brother who is the global head of LEC, Manshauddin. He's a man with nerves of steel. I told him, I think you should have been in Las Vegas or something, on one of the roulette tables, you would have made a brilliant career. But alhamdulillah, he's a good Muslim, so he doesn't do all that. Eh? So Manshauddin, I said, do you have enough participants? Yes, we have enough participants, no problem. Should I travel? Absolutely, you have to travel. So I land in Kuwait on a Friday, on a Thursday night. We go Friday, make Jummah, khutbah in one of the masajid that in Kuwait, alhamdulillah, I'm invited to all of that. So I go and make khutbah there. Evening Masjid al-Kabir, 2 lectures, and then the program starts on a Sunday, and on Sunday there are some 65 people or something like this, the hall is all full of people. So I said, fantastic. I mean, then he tells me, he said, the day you arrived on Thursday, there were 3 people registered for LEC, only 3. So I said, and you told me to travel? He said, yes. He said, because if I told you there were 3 people, you wouldn't travel. So I said, what if nobody comes? He said, they will all come. They're all Muslims. Last minute, can you imagine? 3 people 1 day before the program and 65 people on the day of the program. So my point I'm making is this is a standard procedure. Any country we go to, people will tell all kinds of things. Nobody can get leave and this and this and whatnot. And eventually when you start, you find you've got The same thing like here. I mean, these are people are overbooked, now they are running to find rooms. Now, my point is, I'm not saying this to talk about the LEC. I'm saying this because you people, all the things that you mentioned about the difficulty of getting leave in your countries, I know is true because I have lived in the West. I lived in the US. I lived in South America and Guyana and so on. So I know the situation. I've lived in Saudi Arabia, so I know the situation in the Middle East. But my point is, despite all that, you took the time out. You took leave. You did whatever you had to do. And you came here. Now, having come here, what sense does it make if you are not participating in the Ijtimai Amal, in the collective activities that we are doing? I know you will participate. This is absolutely the first session, and there were like two or three people who went out, but I am making such a big deal about it because I don't want you to lose it. I don't want to say this on the last day. It makes no sense. So let us become conscious and say to yourself, I came here for this purpose. So I will not allow shaitan to reduce my reward by getting me engaged in something else so that I am not in the class, I am not in the musalla. Or what also happens, for example, some of the exercises that I am going to give you, is I will tell you, go away by yourself. What is the keyword there? By yourself. Go away by yourself and reflect on what you see and so on. I'll tell you the exercise when we come to it. What do you see? As soon as the step out of the room, I put my hand around my friend Salim and we say, let us go. The man said, by yourself. Oh, no, you are like me. You know, I'm like you. We are brothers. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. No, don't do that to yourself. And if someone tries to do that to you, Brother Salim must say, please buzz off. Sorry, you may think I am like you, I am not. Off with you. I am going my way. I am not allowing you to spoil my period of contemplation. Make sure, do that. There is no politeness involved. If you are sitting and somebody is whispering in your ear, and people have got these brilliant whispers, and it's like a stage whisper. The guy is whispering in the end of the room and you can hear him clearly sitting right here. A wide whisper then. So seriously, I'm saying that very, very important. If somebody is doing that very politely, very nicely, I'm not saying, you know, punch him in the face. I mean, do it very nicely, but tell him, brother, please excuse me. Sorry, I am not going to talk to you now. I am engaged in this activity. Not possible. Please, we will talk later. And there is, alhamdulillah, enough time to do that. There is all the meal times and the break times and so on. You have enough time, go and talk your heart out. But don't do that in the classes. Don't do that here. Because it takes away from your benefit and it takes away from the benefit of the brother. Don't do that to them. And if somebody is doing it to you, stop them. There is nothing polite about enduring this kind of behavior from anybody. There is no need to feel absolutely any hesitance whatsoever in telling the brother or the sister to say, excuse me, please. Not now. I'm sure they'll understand. That's why I'm doing half the work for you. So, you don't need to do that, inshallah. But if it happens, and shaitan does this, when he cannot make you commit a sin, he makes you do the good deed in such a way that the reward will be reduced in some way. He can't stop you from salah. So what does he do? He says, okay, pray further and push off. Sunnah, are sunnati chayna. What about the azkar after first? I will do it. No, we'll do it walking while we are going. And I don't want to prolong this, inshallah. We'll talk about the azkar. The value of those azkar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajib. Just think about, I won't mention it today, but inshallah we'll do it during the course. Just the value of those azkar. And that's why I always say, I'm not even saying this is what my chef told me. He said, when you are in a hurry, ensure that you do all the azkar. I mean, sound like a crazy statement. When you're in a hurry, you would normally say, if you are in a hurry, it doesn't matter. When you're no. He said, if you are in a hurry, do it. Make sure you pray, you do all the azkar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate whatever that thing was for which you are in a hurry. Allah will make it happen faster. Sit here and do the azkar. Make sure you finish all the azkar peacefully and then go. And that is the benefit of tarbiyah. This whole course is about tarbiyah. And I don't want to start there. We'll do that in my session in the morning. But my point is that the whole issue of tarbiyah is this, is to realize the value of the action that we are doing, so that we do that action consciously, we do that action thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, so that we get this huge value add from that particular action. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you, to ease your difficulties, to make your life full of grace, to make your life full of ease, to be pleased with you, to accept all your du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire you to make du'as which are beneficial for you and to accept those du'as from you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you in keeping with His majesty and grace, not in keeping with what you did. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you what you ask and then to give you from Himself as a gift that you will be delighted with, inshallah, in this world and in the next. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to record all the actions that you do in this course in your book of deeds. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you those books of deeds in your right hands on the day when you meet Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the shade of His arsh on the day when there will be no shade except His shade. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree and write in your fate that you will meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his house, and that you will drink the water of Al-Kawthar by the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that you will follow him across the Sirat into Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab, inshaAllah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree this and to write this into your fate and to make it wajib and fard on you to do this, inshaAllah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you until you say bas. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you until you are delighted with what He has given, inshaAllah, in this dunya wal akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away all your difficulties, to take away all your pain, to take away all your anxiety, to take away all your fears, to take away every negative thing from your life, and to fill your lives with barakah from Himself, Jalla Jalalu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make each one of you a beacon of guidance for all those who come into contact with you, all those you speak to, all those who speak to you, all those who see you, all those who come and walk on the path after you have passed away. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the benefit and the reward of that, of hidayat for them to you, and to give you actions and to make you do actions which will be a legacy for you long after you are gone. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين